From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy.
Now, Cliffy Bergen's help me, I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night, and time again transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with Mortimer Sturge, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Gary Crosby, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, yours truly, John Heaston, and our special guest, the woman who farms the sea, kelp expert, Mrs. Gertrude Beckwith. And now here is Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy.
Well, it's Charlie McCarthy without Edgar Bergen today. And it couldn't happen to a more deserving audience.
I say, Charles, where is Edgar?
Well, you see, he's on his way back from Palm Springs, Ray.
Oh.
And he goes there every week to get a suntan, dear boy.
He does, huh?
Yeah.
Well, then how come it never shows?
Well, every time he leaves, they give him his bill and he turns white again.
Well, while we're waiting for Edgar, perhaps I could tell one of my droll witticisms, huh?
Now, Ray.
Oh, yes. No. Would you like to hear the one about the poor salt cellar that had the shakes? Spicy, what?
Yeah, down, boy, down. Hello, Charlie. Hello, Ray. Well,
Charlie, how did things go at home while I was gone?
Well, I did. I must say, Bergen, that you certainly are looking good. My, that blizzard did you wonders. Your face is just as shiny and it's just such a glow. Clear up the back of your head. Oh.
That didn't exactly answer my question.
Oh?
I was asking about the house.
Oh, were you now?
Yes. I left things in your care because I think that you're old enough to accept responsibility.
Yes. Well, thank you, Bergen. They say that one is just as old as one feels, they say.
Yes. And how old do you feel?
Goo.
I'm afraid to ask you what happened around the house.
Well, that makes us even. I'm afraid to tell you.
All right, young man, out with it.
Well, if you must know, Bergen, I did try to fix that leaky faucet, you know.
That's ridiculous.
It is.
Yes. You're old enough to know that. But you should have called a plumber.
Oh?
Aren't you?
Goo.
Yeah.
I say, you know, one of my very best buddies is a plumber.
Oh, really?
Oh, rather, yes. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm often referred to as the plumber's friend.
And you're built like one, too.
Well, you know, this chap has had lots of experience as a plumber. In fact, he's written a book on it, and it's entitled 20,000 Leaks Under the Sink.
Oh. Now, Ray,
He's really quite famous, Edgar, yeah. Really. He was the first plumber to invent faucets labeled hot and cold.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yes. Before that, you see, when a woman sat down in the tub, she didn't know whether she was going to say, ah, or, ooh!
Ray, I'm trying to find out what happened with Charlie and that leaky faucet you see. Yes.
Well, all I did was hit the faucet with a wrench and to loosen it.
Uh-huh.
And it wouldn't budge.
Uh-huh.
So I tried a sledgehammer.
A sledgehammer. And then what happened?
Well, it budged. Yeah. But the pipe started to leak a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Pretty bad, as a matter of fact. But luckily, I remembered about that brave little Dutch boy who stuck his finger in the dike, you know. Another hero of my type.
Yes. And you did the same.
Yeah, but the leak was too small for my finger. So I had to enlarge it.
Uh-huh.
With a crowbar. Oh, no.
Didn't that make the leak worse?
Well, I couldn't tell.
Why couldn't you?
Well, by that time, the leak was 4 feet underwater.
This is awful. To do such a thing, you must have been out of your mind.
Yeah, say, that's a better alibi than the one I cooked up.
Yeah.
I say, you know, recently I had a leak at my house.
Oh?
But it wasn't the faucet, you know. You know the long curved pipe under the sink?
The goose's neck?
Well, I wouldn't know, but I presume they do.
Yeah. Let's keep your house out of this, Ray. I mean, I'm having trouble with mine, yes. I want to know when this leak got worse.
Yes, sir.
Why didn't you at least call the plumber then?
Well, from then on, the job calls for frogmen.
Frogmen.
The water had gotten to the basement and flooded the furnace.
Oh, no.
Oh, but yes.
Why, that's terrible, Charlie. With all that escaping gas down there, the furnace could have blown up.
Yeah, that's exactly the direction it took.
Oh, this is terrible.
Well, now, why don't you look on the bright side of it, Bergen?
What is the bright side?
Well, instead of a basement, you now have a wall-to-wall swimming pool.
Oh, that basement rumpus room, it was always my favorite retreat.
Favorite retreat?
Yeah.
Well, now it's a little more like unconditional surrender.
Yeah.
you know, Beckett, you know your sunken living room?
Yes.
Well, it went down for the third time.
It
And you know the kitchen?
What about the kitchen?
It was full of floating potatoes.
Is that so?
Wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Oh. That does it, young man. I'll teach you to take this seriously. Bend over my knee.
No, not there again. But okay.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, here is our lovely singer of songs, Miss Carol Richards, bringing us Cole Porter's all-time favorite, In the Still of the Night. Time for the educational and constructive portion of our program, dedicated to all you do-it-yourself fans. We proudly present Professor Kirkwood's Do-It-Yourself Department.
Greetings and mesmerations.
Mesmerations?
Yes, I am here tonight to talk about my do-it-yourself hypnotism and reincarnation kit.
Professor, are you inferring that you are a hypnotist?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
I can hypnotize anybody or anything. Mm-hmm. Why, once I hypnotized a cat, made it believe it was a dog.
Really? And what happened?
Well, I never found out. It chased itself up a tree, and I never saw it again.
Well, that is remarkable, I imagine.
Yes, and right now, I've got a relative of mine hypnotized, so he thinks he's a chicken.
Oh, my. Now, how long are you going to keep him that way?
Till the price of eggs go down.
Well, that makes sense.
Yes. I say, Professor, now, just exactly what is hypnotism?
Well, hypnotism is getting a man in your power and getting him to do everything you want him to do.
Well, that's not hypnotism, old boy. That's marriage.
No, I will explain it, Ray.
It's quite a different thing, old boy.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I've studied hypnotism, too. Oh, yes. Let me explain now that if I could make you say anything I wanted to, that would be hypnotism.
No, old boy, no. That's ventriloquism.
No.
I'm no dummy.
You want a bet now?
Courtesy at all times, Professor.
Courtesy.
We'd better get on, Professor. Now, what has all this to do with reincarnation?
Well, as you know, reincarnation is all the rage today.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing it.
Of course, you know what reincarnation is.
Oh, rather, yes, old boy. Reincarnation is when you pour the milk back into the can.
Professor, maybe you'd better explain further. Huh?
Well, in reincarnation, it's often thought that man's other existence was in the form of an animal.
You mean it's possible, for instance, that, that your wife could have been a cow?
Not my wife, no. You can't be the same thing twice.
Professor, do you actually believe people come back to this earth in different forms?
Why, certainly, my boy. Didn't Adam come back as a hat?
Well.
Didn't Bismarck come back as a herring? Didn't Lord Calvert come back as a bottle of whiskey?
Evidence does pile up, doesn't it? And you feel that your do-it-yourself hypnotism kit will help us get the lowdown on reincarnation.
That's right. Hmm. Folks, buy my kit and hypnotize yourself. Who knows? Maybe you, too, were a bridey or a groomy.
Bridey, groomy.
Oh, the pain. Oh. Now, my hypnosis kit also contains a large can of insect powder.
Insect powder?
Yes. That's in case you find any ants in your trance.
You know, boy, actually, it's this reincarnation idea that fascinates me.
It does.
Well, tell you what I'll do, Ray. I'll hypnotize you and make you go back in time. Now, Ray, do you know what auto-suggestion is?
Oh, certainly, old boy. I mean, I watch all those used car commercials on TV.
Oh, I'd better hurry. This boy's almost gone. Now, before I can hypnotize him, we want to put him in the proper position. First, we stand him on his head like this.
Ooh.
Now, Bergen, you grab one leg and I'll grab the other.
Yeah, okay. Now, what do I do?
Make a wish.
Oh,
excuse me. Well, that's another experiment.
Yeah.
Now, let's begin. Now, Ray, look into my eyes.
But where are they, old boy?
Can't you see them? Those little teensy-weensy bloodshot things.
Oh, there they are.
Now, just relax and think of nothing.
All right. Is there any special nothing you want me to think of?
Well, just imagine you're a TV set and you've just lost the picture. Relax. Now, just go to sleep.
But I say, Albert, I haven't even put the cat out.
You're going to sleep. 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 Not you, Bergen.
Hello. Just great fruit and coffee.
You are now fast asleep. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Do you read me?
Contact. I read you loud and clear. Rodney.
Now we're going back into your life. Way back. You are now 6 months old. What are you?
Damp.
Well, let's go even further back. We're now in another one of your lives. What are you now?
I'm a giraffe.
A giraffe?
That's right.
Hello, down there.
Well,
Bergen. You got quite handsome there.
There you have it. Have I proved my point?
Okay, Noble, out of your trance. Come on, come back.
Oh, I'm sorry to ruin your stunt, Professor, but I made up all those answers. I wasn't in any trance.
Oh, no. Something must have gone wrong. I brought him back as a jackass.
Good night, everybody.
Now, here's a musical toast from the Mellow Men as they sing Vino Vino.
Oh, your lips are soft like grapes upon the vine, and your kisses are as warm and sweet as wine. Is it any wonder every time we kiss I implore? Vino, 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 kiss me more. When we're underneath the shelter of a tree, and your kisses are intoxicating me, oh, I never seem to care enough of what I adore. Vino, 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 kiss me more. Bella, 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 there's nobody else so sweet. Bella, 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 these kisses are lovely sweet. Cause your lips are soft like grapes upon the vine, and your kisses are as warm and sweet as mine. I'm so busy getting dizzy, I'm a lucky senor. Vino, 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 kiss me more. Kiss me more, kiss me more. Vino, 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 kiss me more. Kiss me more, kiss me more. Vino, 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 kiss me more. Vino, vino! Vino, vino! Vino, 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 kiss me more. Bella, 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 there's nobody else so sweet. Bella, 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 it's kissing a lovely treat.
Cause your lips are soft like grapes upon the vine, and your kisses are as warm and sweet as wine. I'm so busy getting dizzy, I'm a lucky senor.
Vino, 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 kiss me more. Kiss me more, kiss me more. Vino, 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 kiss me more. Kiss me more, kiss me more. Vino, 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 kiss me more.
I'm here.
Mortimer, I just heard the good news. Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
I heard that your hometown appointed you honorary mayor.
Yeah, you heard that.
Yeah, I'm thrilled. The name of Mortimer Snerd is beginning to mean something.
Yeah. Well, of course, I can always change it.
No, you don't. This should certainly stir your ambition.
Yeah?
Yes.
Why, is it sticking to the bottom?
No. Imagine you being picked as honorary mayor of Snerdville for boys' day.
Yep. I'm their boy.
Yes, you're their boy. Yes, you know, the boys of today will grow up to be the men of tomorrow.
No. Well, that sounds like a good arrangement. I'm kind of surprised somebody hadn't thought of it before.
Well, it's a rather standard thing. What else could you be?
Well, we could grow up to be, you know, one of them, No. No, that's a caterpillar. We couldn't. I guess there isn't much of a choice of that.
No, there isn't.
No choice at all.
Mortimer, tell me about your work as mayor. What about the traffic problem?
Well, it's pretty bad. Snerdville is so small that two cars make a traffic jam.
Is that...
Yeah, we have a time there, yeah.
Well, what recommendations have you made so far for Snerdville?
Well, I'll tell you, I recommended the first thing that they cut out that 8 o'clock curfew bell at night.
Why?
Well, it wakes everybody up.
Oh, I know.
And what are you doing about smog?
Well, they're breathing it just like everybody else.
Tell me, Your Honor.
Yeah?
What are you doing for the working man?
Well, what else? Tax him.
And what are some of your other duties?
Well, being mayor, I'm also fire commissioner.
Well, you are? Yeah.
Well, you know what that means, don't you?
Well, I guess so. I guess it means I get a commission on every fire.
No. That was a scorcher.
Yeah. Now, I would like your honest opinion, Mr. Snert.
Yeah.
Hey, what about all this red tape that's cluttering up our municipal administrations?
Yeah. What about that?
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I'm going to get rid of all that red tape.
Fine.
Hooray! Yeah.
How are you going to get rid of it?
I'm going to use green tape.
Green.
Thank you. Yeah.
Have you done anything worthwhile?
Well, I started an old clothes drive for the poor people around on the Snertville farm there. They got a poor farm, so they won't catch ammonia out there in the cold weather.
Well, I think a clothing drive is a noble idea.
It ain't neither. It's my own idea. I noble had nothing to do with it.
I didn't know Snertville had a poor farm.
Well, I think they have, though, because I passed a place. It has a big fence around it, and I peeked in, see? And there the people were, so poor they was walking around starch naked. Is that true? I could have sworn they was all they was wearing was their bathtub suits. Yeah, I
Now, just a minute. I think I'm beginning to see the light.
Well, I saw more than that, yeah.
I think that might be a nudist colony.
Yeah?
Yeah, you see, those people want to get back to nature.
Oh, that's what they're trying to do, yeah. Well, the way some of them looked, I don't think nature would take them back. Yeah.
Well, I understand those nudists, they have a lot of followers.
Yeah, mostly mosquitoes out there. I'd never become one of them.
You wouldn't?
No, sir. I heard some of them nudist fellas who went crazy trying to put their hands in their pockets.
This week, Girl Scouts all over America will celebrate Girl Scout Week and the 44th birthday of Girl Scouting in America. So speaking for all of us here today, I'd like to wish them many happy returns.
The Edgar Bergen Hour, transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Men, and Ray Noble, will be back after station identification. From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Gary Crosby, Carol Richard, Jack Kirkwood, the Mellow Man, Ray Noble, and yours truly, John Heaston. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure to welcome back one of the regular members of our cast who has been away for several weeks on a tour of one-nighters. Here he is, Gary Crosby.
Well, Gary, it's nice to have you back. And how was your tour with Les Brown's band?
Well, you know how those one-night stands are, Edgar.
Yeah.
band lives in a bus and tours all the small towns and back roads. Anything can happen, and it usually does.
You know, I can imagine what it would be like on a bus tour of one-night stands with the McCarthy Crosby Band. And their makes you want to jaywalk music, something like that.
We've done 16 shows with this traveling band. Another day's here, another one-night stand. Say, Cheetah, don't you call us, 'cause we can't go. We owe our soul to Mr. Petrillo.
Hey, driver, watch out for that bump.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh.
What's the matter, Chaz?
Oh, it's the last time I sit in front of a piccolo player.
Never mind now, don't complain. The last 10 miles, my suspenders have been caught on the slide trombone.
I thought you were taking bows.
Oh, this is murder, Charlie. Yeah. I'm beginning to think maybe we should have gotten a larger bus.
Yeah, what a junk heap. Don't tell me this bus is a Greyhound.
No, it's from a smaller line.
Oh.
It's a Mexican hairless.
I wonder if I'd have had a picture of Bergen painted on the side. Oh, it sure been a rough tour, eh, Gary, eh, boy?
You ain't kidding there, Charlie. We've done so many shows, my voice just about shot.
Yes, and our girl singer sure has a bad case of laryngitis. Gee, I feel sorry for her. How is your laryngitis today, honey?
Oh, I'm feeling a lot better.
Thank you, Tallulah.
I don't want to say anything. I think she's gargling with Drano.
We better get her a room tonight, too.
Attention, everybody. On behalf of the bus company, I'd like to make an announcement. Now that we're back in California, this company is not responsible for collisions with women drivers, skidding on orange juice, or for anybody who gets shot by an Indian going through Glendale.
That's ridiculous. There aren't any Indians in Glendale.
That's what you say. How do you think I lost my scalp?
This guy outshines Bergen here.
Please, Sam, back to the drums.
Fellas, we'll be in L.A. soon, so let's have one last rehearsal, huh?
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, could you please pass us the instruments?
Sure, Sam, here you are.
Thanks. And now that big box there, it's got our music in it.
All right, I'll just lift it up here. Here you are.
Oh, how could you be so clumsy? You've broken our arrangement.
What was it, Beethoven's Fifth?
No. No, it was our new record album, Music to Stagger By. Oh. Let's go, Charlie. Here's your saxophone.
Oh, well, thanks. I want to warm up a little for my solo. Isn't that beautiful music?
Sounds like the mating call of a garbage disposal. I can't understand it, Charlie. How can you be so bad? Well, after all, you've been playing the saxophone for 12 years.
Yeah, I know, but for the first 11, I was blowing through the wrong end. Okay, men, a one, a two.
Come on, driver, watch out for that bump now.
Oh, what happened? Where am I?
Will you please get off my lap?
Oh, sorry, honey.
Charlie, the bus is stuck right in a big mud hole.
Yeah, right in the middle of the road, too. Gary, you better get out and see how deep the mud is.
All right. Hey,
Gary, tread water.
Whee. Look at me. I'm soaked. I'm drenched. I'm covered with mud.
How do you like that? Them that has gets.
Well, welcome to the township of Kirkville, folks. I'm the local highway commissioner. What a rotten road you got here.
Watch your language, boy. This is our new freeway.
Oh.
How are we going to get our bus out of this hole?
Just happen to have my truck here. That'll cost you $10.
That's quite a lot of money for just a few moments' work, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Took me 6 hours to dig that hole.
Oh.
It's a new idea of mine, boy. That's a toll hole. Well, come on, get up to 10.
Well, that's too much money. Our bus only sank a few feet.
Well, that's because there's another car underneath, boy. They didn't pay.
Oh. Look, our bus is sinking out of sight.
Hey, I didn't know I dug the hole that deep.
Gary, our whole band is gone. There's only the two of us left. What'll we do for our show tonight?
What else? Let me sit on your knee.
Daddy, dear, tell me, please.
Not you, too.
Now, Carol Richards brings us her version of our new hit Victor record, which is zooming to the top, Little Mistakes.
Little mistakes everyone makes, why should they keep us apart? Little mistakes causing the teardrops to start. You may have heard some little words, now there's an ache in your heart. Everyone makes little mistakes, and I'm sorry, so sorry. You were so right, I was so wrong. What is there to say? Days are so blue, nights are so long since you went away.
How can I hope? How can I live? Tell me before my heart breaks
that you forgive all of my little mistakes. How can I hope? How can I live? Tell me before my heart breaks
that you forgive all of my little mistakes.
That you forgive all of my little.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for our Meet the People department. Our guest tonight has a very interesting background. As president of the Phillip Park Company, she's one of the country's leading women executives. She is a graduate research chemist, and because of her work in kelp and marine gardening, she has become known as the woman who farms the sea. I'd like you to meet Mrs. Gertrude Beckwith.
Good evening, everybody.
Well, Mrs. Beckwith, that's quite a colorful title that you have there, The Woman Who Farms the Sea.
Yes, I think it's a little too colorful, but our company does specialize in marine gardening, and much of our work could be called harvesting from the sea.
Well, then you must be in the kelp industry. I've been hearing so much about it lately.
That's right, Edgar. We produce kelp for human consumption, but we also make concentrates which are used for feeds for all types of livestock and poultry. Our base is composed of various marine products such as fish, fish solubles, fish oil, and sea plants. And while kelp is included in all our products because of its high mineral content, particularly iodine, it is only a part of our overall operation. Incidentally, seaweed is the correct name for it.
This farming in the ocean, Mrs. Beckwith, couldn't that be Couldn't that be the gardening of the future? We hear so much these days about depleted soil, and of course we know that many of the minerals are washed away into the ocean.
Yes, that's true. Marine gardening is certainly becoming increasingly important, and I believe it could prove to be one of our major food sources in the future.
Then you don't consider Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea description of marine gardening too fantastic?
Oh, not fantastic at all. Today we're proving it's true. Sea plants have long been a staple part of the diet of Hawaiians, the Polynesians, and other island people. The Japanese regularly include seaweed in their diet, using different varieties in a number of ways for soups and salads and desserts. And they even enjoy raw seaweed sandwiches.
Steady stomach, steady.
Well, they probably feel the same way about our lettuce.
Yes.
But kelp is really quite tasty, Edgar. I've eaten it raw.
I suppose you whipped up a few choice recipes of your own then, too, haven't you, Mrs. Beckwith?
Yes, indeed. One of the foods I have put together is mincemeat, in which I use about 50% kelp. I used to make about 200 or 300 jars of it every Christmas and send it to our customers. It's delicious, nutritious, and best of all, it's non-fattening.
Why are you staring at me? Well, so then you believe that sea plants will become more and more a part of our regular diet.
Yes, I do. We've barely scratched the surface of our knowledge and use of marine plants. We'll have to learn, among other things, how to make them more edible for the popular taste, but that can be worked out. Seaweed grows in mineral-rich water. And when our local kelp is dehydrated, it is, by weight, one-third mineral. And we think this mineral content is very valuable.
Mm. Well, and it'll also save packing a basket lunch when you go to the beach. You just tell the kids to go out for a swim and keep their mouths open. Ms. Beckwith, tell us something about this marine gardening. How do you cut the seaweed? Do you have some trained barracuda on a leash? I don't suppose that would do it.
No, I wish it would. We use a boat called a kelp cutter that harvests the seaweed along the Pacific coast. Seaweed isn't planted, and being a perennial, needs no reseeding. It grows back quickly.
Now, do these seaweed beds belong to anybody? I never heard of anyone buying 4 or 5 acres out in the ocean. Of course, I did buy a couple of lots years ago in Florida, but I didn't know they were underwater.
Well, we don't buy lots. The kelp beds are controlled, however, by the State Bureau of Fisheries, which has authority to open and close areas at their discretion. They regulate our activities in other ways, too. For instance, the cutter blades cannot, by law, go below 4 feet. Also, we must turn in monthly tonnage reports to the State Bureau.
Mrs. Beckwith, I suppose from time to time you go out on the boat, don't you?
Oh, Edgar, I was afraid you'd ask me that. Oh. To tell you the truth, well, I used to go out in the past. I rarely go now. I get seasick. But I guess every profession has its hazards.
If you don't mind my saying so, I should think that working with fish and fish oils and conducting research on fish would be most unpleasant occupational hazard as far as the sense of smell is concerned, unless, of course, you have a sinus condition to go with it.
Yes, but we've discovered it isn't nearly so bad if we give names to our various projects, like Chanel No. 5 and IF.
IF? What is that?
It stands for intestinal fortitude.
Oh, I see. Well, I know a quicker way of saying that. Or if you can't use that, how about calling one of them High Heaven?
High Heaven?
Yeah, I think that'd be good. That's what it smells to.
I think we'll use it.
But, Mrs. Beckwith, at least now I understand why you escaped to the presidency, so you could escape the IFS,
the IFS.
Well, being a lady president of a big company has its hazards, but yours sounds like a fascinating position. Mrs. Beckwith, I want to thank you for being our guest this evening and telling us about this unusual occupation of marine gardening. Good night, Mrs. Beckwith.
Good night.
Here is Gary Crosby in one of the big new hits, The Great Pretender.
I'm the great pretender, pretending I'm doing so well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Oh, yes, I'm a great tender. Adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Real is this feeling of make-believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not, you see. I'm wearing my heart like a crown. Pretending that you're still around.
If you've got a cold, but you've got a job to do too, listen. Take Super Anahist, the modern medicine that helps you feel better, look better, work better when you can't stay in bed with a cold.
Feel better.
Super Anahist relieves fever, headache, muscular pain.
Look better.
Super Anahist relieves sniffles, red watery eyes, sneezing.
Work better.
Super Anahist relieves that dragged out feeling, helps you resist after effects. Only Super Anahist does this with its five cold-fighting wonder drugs now prescribed by doctors. So when you can't stay in bed with a cold, feel better, look better, work better. Take Super Anahist with concentrated vitamin C, regular and children-sized tablets. Super Anahist.
Mothers, here's a great chest rub improvement. Super Anahist Rub, an amazing new combination of four ingredients so deep penetrating you can see it work. Super Anahist Rub brings a healthy red glow to the skin as it stimulates circulation, helps loosen phlegm, break up bronchial congestion of colds. Get Super Anahist Deep Penetrating Rub.
Oh, college days, oh, knowledge days, when midnight oil was burning in those ivy halls of learning, and Plato in his grave was turning in college
Now for the cultural portion of our program. This being an election year, one of the hottest issues of the day is the farm problem. Ed Murrow has devoted a full program to the topic, as have many other TV and radio shows. However, we feel that no advice on the subject can compare with that dispensed by our own forum of intellectual giants. So here they are once again discussing Wither the Farmer, Edgar Bergen and his end table.
Thank you and good evening, panel.
Well, how are you tonight?
Phil, man, Phil.
Yes. Now, gentlemen, as you know, this is an election year, and all the senators and congressmen and other politicians have been doing a lot of talking about farm problem and how to help the crops.
Yeah, well, if they just spread some of that talk around, that ought to do it.
Yeah.
Now, please, gentlemen, let's maintain our dignity.
Okay.
Now, one of the most important farm issues is parity.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, what?
that parity. That was a dandy.
Mortimer, what is parity?
I don't know.
Mortimer, how can you be so stupid?
I take shots.
I could use a shot myself.
Gentlemen, we're running to levity. Let's get on with our discussion. Now, Mortimer, are you a chicken farmer?
I've got as much nerve as the next one.
No, no. No, I mean, do you have any poultry on your farm?
Oh, this I have, yeah. I got a dozen hens and I got a dozen roosters.
Well, but I don't know. I don't know. Why do you feed so many roosters?
Well, you see, I know how it feels to be a wallflower.
You know, the chickens on my farm aren't cooperating with the government's program at all.
They aren't?
No. They found out what the price of eggs is, and now the rooster walks up and down yelling at the hens, smaller ones and faster.
Now, gentlemen, please. Now, let's not have so much dribbling. I want you three there. You're here to discuss the farm problem. Must I repeat that? The farm problem.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'd like to start rolling.
Okay, three's your point. Shoot the dice.
I'm not talking about rolling dice. I'm talking about eggs.
Oh, let's have an egg roll.
Oh.
Egg roll. I say, wasn't that a wonderful joke? Egg rolls.
Smaller ones and faster.
Oh, yes, exactly.
I'm beginning to think you gentlemen never have seen a farm at all.
Well, now, just a second. I happen to have a real nice farm. I happen to have. I got chickens, cows, pigs, turkeys, hogs.
Say, you sure are well stocked.
Oh, well, thanks. You got a nice figure, too. No.
Panel,
yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, we're full of vim and vigor all tonight.
Yeah, we are. Now, gentlemen, to get back to the farm problem, what makes this whole issue so difficult is that what you try to do for some farmers displeases other farmers.
Well, you can please some of the people some of the time, and most of the people lots of the time, but you can't please. Pretty please. No. Can I please leave the room?
Now, Mortimer, that was a stupid thing to say.
Well, why'd you make me say it then?
I don't.
Oh, chatter.
Now, let's get on. Despite many problems, I feel that farming is still a good living.
Well, that's right, boy. I know one fellow who works on a dairy farm, and he's doing swell.
He is?
Yep. Pulling down 20 a week.
Gentlemen,
I've reached the limit of my endurance. I simply cannot tolerate your reprehensible animosity, your implacability, your acrimony, austerity, antipathy, and utter irascibility.
Gosh! Yeah.
Right, now we better get our mailbag. Many farmers have written in to us with their problems, Bill. The first letter is from Mr. Fetlock J. Yuck of Split Lip, Montana. He wants to know the best way of telling a chicken's age.
Well, that's easy, by the teeth.
But chickens don't have teeth.
No, but I do. Yeah.
Well,
thank
you,
the
old
next letter was sent in by Mr. Fungus Slurp of Open Flap, Iowa.
Must be a drafty place out there.
He wants to know if you gentlemen know of any new farm inventions.
Well, I just developed a bourbon spray for orange trees.
A bourbon spray?
Yep. Makes the oranges so happy, they hug each other and squeeze their own juice.
The next problem is from a man in Texas, and his name is Mr. Myron Drainclog.
Myron Drainclog?
Yeah, well, that ought to be a stopper.
Anyway, he wants to know, what would you do if your prize watermelon split open?
Simple, old boy. Just fix it with a watermelon patch.
Oh no.
Did you get it?
Yeah, all over it.
Smaller ones and faster.
The next letter is from Hiram Baldome of Dandruff Falls, Idaho. Mortimer, he wants to know where you learn to milk cows.
Oh, the usual place. Little back of the middle.
Uh-huh. The next letter comes from Trot, New Mexico.
Trot, New Mexico?
Yes, it's just before you get to Gallup.
All the pains are coming back.
Mortimer, do you have any final word of advice to the nation's farmers?
Why, sure. My motto is, if at first you don't succeed,
Give up.
Good night, everybody.
Well, where was Mortimer yesterday, Charlie? I didn't see him all day.
Well, I know he was down at the television store, camped in front of the window, Mr. Bergen.
Oh?
Yeah. Yeah, they just got in a shipment of 1956 CBS television sets, and Mortimer just spends all his free time sitting there and watching them. He says they're absolutely the greatest. That's what he says.
Mortimer's right, Charlie. The new CBS television sets are absolutely the finest ever to bear the great name of CBS. Because they're the only sets ever built with all nine of television's most wanted advances. Big, bold advances like new CBS robot tuning that changes channels automatically at the touch of a button. CBS remote control that lets you tune your set from your chair, anywhere in the room. And the CBS choir of speakers with magnificent free speaker high fidelity sound. Those are just a few of TV's nine most wanted advances found only in the new 1956 CBS TV sets. What's more, they're made by a division of the Columbia Broadcasting System, so you know they're good. These great CBS sets are at your dealers right now, priced from $149.95. Go see them, and make your next set a better set. Make it a CBS. Now here's Edgar Bergen.
It's time for another bit of sage advice from our rural philosopher, Mortimer. Here he is with Snurd's Words for the Birds.
Conversation doesn't work with only one people.
Thank you, Mortimer. Until next Sunday, good night, everyone.
Remember to listen to Edgar Bergen with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Stern, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Gary Crosby, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Fire Rose, Zeno Clicker, and Hilda Black. Tonight, we salute the oldest country in the New World, the Dominican Republic, now celebrating its International Fair for Peace and Brotherhood among the nations of the free world. This is John Heaston speaking.